Chapter 5. Impotence. Impotence, the inability to achieve an erection and follow through with normal intercourse, occurs with surprising frequency as men age. An estimated 10 million men in the United States are either permanently or situationally impotent, though probably less than 10% of these patients ever actually visits a physician for their problem. Almost every man at some point in his life experiences temporary or situational impotence due to any of an assortment of causes. Common culprits include too much to drink, mental preoccupation, and lack of interest from or in a partner. This inhibition is easily explained and soon overcome. Lasting impotence is caused by more complex factors. Until recently, impotence was blamed almost exclusively on psychological issues. In the 1960s and 1970s, for instance, doctors thought mental concerns were responsible for 95% of impotence cases. The remaining 5% were attributed to evident physical causes, such as obvious nerve damage. Now, however, doctors believe the cause of impotence is as likely to be physical as psychological. This shift is based on better diagnostic methods and on discoveries made possible by more sophisticated means of measuring physical and chemical changes, particularly in the vascular field and in the study of diabetes. Much of this progress may be attributed to a new interest in the scientific study of sex pioneered by Dr. Alfred Kinsey in the 1940s and 1950s. After Kinsey blazed a trail, researchers began looking where they had not looked before in all areas of human sexuality, not only impotence. Physical as well as psychological causes of impotence may be treated and, to a considerable extent, corrected, sometimes in dramatic fashion. Following are some dominant physical and psychological causes of impotence, along with some evidence of their effects. Physical impotence. Drugs. A fellow doctor found that he had become impotent and came to me for help. At the time, he was treating himself for ulcers with the drug cimetidine. That was a clue, for while that drug is quite effective as a medication for ulcers, it also may lower production of the male hormone testosterone. His complaint of impotence was typical among cimetidine users. I recommended a substitute medication, and the impotence problem disappeared. Chemicals are the most common physical cause of impotence. Other medications, legal and otherwise, with side effects related to impotence, include high blood pressure pills, antihypertensives, which impact the blood pressure necessary for an erection. Recreational drugs such as marijuana, ecstasy, cocaine, and amphetamines, which affect the central nervous system. Antihistamines such as cold pills. Tranquilizers. Weight loss pills. Diuretics. And sedatives. Alcohol abuse is another frequently seen factor in impotence, and it can have a more lasting impact than one night's disappointment. Nicotine, too, from cigarette smoking, can cause impotence by constricting small blood vessels and limiting blood supply to the penis, as well as to elsewhere throughout the body. Abnormal blood pressure. A retired insurance executive, age 70, complained that his capacity to achieve an erection had been diminished after a coronary bypass operation, and he could never get hard enough for penetration. He said, rather colourfully, that attempting intercourse was like trying to put an oyster in a parking meter. His problem was permanently decreased blood flow. When a trial of Viagra was not completely satisfactory, the best solution was implantation of a penile prosthesis, an artificial stiffener. Because blood rushes into the penis to create an erection, obstruction of the blood vessels can result in impotence. High blood pressure, hardening of the arteries, Peyronie's disease and diabetes are among the diseases that can clog the erectile fuel line. A technique for measuring blood pressure in the penis also can confirm whether pressure there is abnormally low among some men. Nerve impulse abnormalities. A 42-year-old man suffering from diabetes was also suffering from a sex problem too embarrassing, he thought, to take to a doctor in his own city, so he travelled 200 miles to consult me. He had not had an erection for more than a year, but he could ejaculate while masturbating, which he did, often with his wife's participation. As it turned out, his diabetes had speeded his aging process and in so doing affected both his nerves and his blood vessels. We worked together to control his diabetes and used the new drug Viagra with very successful treatment and results. Perhaps as instructive, too, is the case of a 32-year-old professional bicyclist who complained of numbness and tingling in his penis and impotence after a 350-mile bicycle race. The culprit was his hard and narrow bicycle seat, which put pressure on the blood vessels and nerves to his penis. The problem resolved with rest and no bike riding for a while. As may be seen via this case, nerves that control the penis are as essential to an erection as is blood. Diseases that can reduce or interrupt critical nerve impulses include strokes, spinal cord injuries, kidney disease, diabetes, and alcoholism. Nerve injuries from abdominal or pelvic surgery or other causes also inhibit nerve functions. Hormonal abnormalities. Impotence is rarely caused by an imbalance of hormones, but kidney and liver diseases, kidney dialysis, and alcoholism can adversely affect normal hormone balance. Such was the circumstance for Richard, a 59-year-old impotent patient of mine who was found to have a very low level of testosterone, the result of a disease of the liver called hemochromatosis. The proper testosterone level was restored by injections. He eventually did get erections and declared an increase in his sexual desire. Psychological impotence. Depression. Mental depression can tax a man's sex drive as well as his energy. Inability to achieve an erection leads to further depression, and thus a vicious cycle. One clue that the root of impotence may be psychological is the presence of involuntary nocturnal erections. Take the case of Nick. A security guard, Nick had not wanted a divorce, but his wife left him for his best friend and took her and Nick's four children with her. After she left, Nick's depression deepened, and his potency failed altogether. He visited a psychiatrist regularly for a year, after which he felt more at ease psychologically, but still got no help in getting an erection. Things looked up when Nick found a new girlfriend and dated her for a year that included a delightful trip to Hawaii. Nevertheless, she left him because he was incapable of getting an erection. When he came to me at age 50, he had been divorced for 3 years and no longer had a girlfriend. His routine included weekly visits to a massage parlour for fellatio, which brought him to ejaculation but without erection. However, he did awaken with a morning piss hard on, so I was able to convince him that his erection mechanism still worked, and that he was suffering not from anything physical, but from depression and performance anxiety. Happily, he got well in time. Stress. Rory, a 44-year-old travel agent, was typical of many patients. He was considering divorce, a possibility enthusiastically encouraged by a new girlfriend. She was much younger than he, and he hoped to impress her, but probably more himself, with his passionate bedroom performance. He soon found he was no longer the sexual sensation that he remembered being in his younger years, though. He forgot that the brain is a sex organ, the biggest of them all, and he was bombarding it with visions that were more than he could handle. Problems with job, marriage, or money can easily become problems with sex. Inability to get an erection provokes stress, and a vicious cycle ensues. Performance anxiety. Performance anxiety can stem from any number of factors. Greg, a lawyer, could gain an erection and have intercourse with his alcoholic wife, but he didn't enjoy it. He instead chose to take a paramour to his mountain cabin. However, the secluded location, the fireside, the soft music, and the wind in the trees unfortunately did him no good. He couldn't get an erection. He tried different women, the same cabin, the same romantic accessories, and still no erection. He confided that he felt like somebody was trying to tell him something. I suggested he go to a marriage counsellor. He did, and the counsellor did tell him something. Go back to your wife. His wife, too, went to a counsellor for alcoholism therapy. They're back on a one-way street, working hard at their relationship. A similar problem afflicted a 45-year-old fellow who successfully lured a lady to bed the night he met her, but was embarrassed because he couldn't get an erection no matter how hard both tried. He apologized, saying he guessed that he was over the hill. The attitude and condition improved substantially, however, when he and his new friend got to know each other better and were more relaxed. Both Greg's case and this latter well illustrate performance anxiety. Each man was feeling pressure, here evidently from psyches telling them they should not perhaps be doing what they were doing, manifested in an inability to achieve erection. Other men, such as Jack, a 28-year-old bricklayer, have other issues. Jack could have normal intercourse except when he tried to put on a condom. Each time he tried to roll a rubber onto his penis, his erection faded. It was obvious to me that Jack had a psychological problem related to condom use. Persistent failure to achieve an erection, for whatever reason, can become self-perpetuating. Fear of failure is reinforced by failure, and can even turn into expectation of failure. Misinformation. A young man came in with a problem many men would like to have. He could make love to his girlfriend once a night easily, but he thought he should be able to do it 3 or 4 times. Was something wrong? Well, there was something missing if this fellow wanted to be like the pro football player who bragged that he could make it with 5 women a day, except on game days, but for mere mortals, once a night consistently is average. Misinformation about sex begins as soon as boys are old enough to discover there are differences between boys and girls. It takes adult forms, too, in myths about how a real man should perform, how a woman should react, how hope is lost with old age. Most men aren't as real as they'd like to believe they are, and worse, like cars, they peter out as time progresses. Getting the facts straight is a serious matter. Take this example. Statistics show that men who have had coronary bypass surgery are more likely to resume normal sexual activity than men who have had heart attacks. Evidence indicates that this may be because the partner of the heart attack victim is apprehensive about another attack. Yet some cardiologists say that if a man can climb a flight of stairs, he can safely have sex. So heart attack patients and their partners should get the proper information from their doctors because they might needlessly be missing out on a normal sex life. Others would be wise to follow suit. Knowledge is power.